minutes before 8 o'clock. Nice looking, beautiful looking Wednesday morning. Thank you for listening. We've got an interesting book. Well, you know, the other day we had an author on, had a big coffee table book talking about the Mexican Revolution. Remember? Remember he corrected my pronunciation?
Wonderful.
It was a wonderful book. And this morning we're going to talk about Mexico a little bit. J.R. Langford is on the phone, and it says here the J stands for Jamie, so I haven't yet really introduced myself to her. Jamila Rines, apparently, is what the JR stands for. And she has an interesting history, in addition to being a prolific novelist, obviously. If you're looking on the website, we actually accidentally put Scared Imposter, and I think that's what I said this morning. The book is called The Sacred Imposter.
It's all fixed now.
It's all fixed now.
It's all fixed.
All fixed.
It's my fault. I transposed the letters, so I apologize to our author for making that error.
It's an easy mistake to make. The Sacred Imposter is the book. And let's just talk about the book. Let's go to the phone. Good morning, JR. Do I address you as Jamie? JR, what do you prefer?
Jamie, most people call me that.
Okay, Jamie. Well, thank you for being on the air. Where are you today?
I'm in Houston.
In Houston?
Yeah.
Is that home for you?
I beg your pardon?
Is that your home?
Well, I've lived here for 25 years now.
Well, then I guess it is.
Yeah.
Now, it says here that you are also, or you at least you were, an electrical engineer, and you flew all over the world. You developed world standards for electrical products.
Well, yes, that was my former career. I started my life out reading. I read my way through my childhood.
Uh-huh.
And one day I woke up and realized there was a physical world out here I didn't understand, so I decided to become an engineer.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. And is it accurate that you were flying all over the place?
Yes. I didn't realize it, but I was blazing trails as I pursued my engineering career. I became the first woman appointed by any country, as it turned out, to the world organization that writes world standards for electrical products. You know, we all have our own, like here it's Underwriters Laboratories.
Right.
Yeah, so to have a world market, though, in this, you need a world standard. So the U.S. appointed me to one of the technical committee secretariats here, and I did that work for 12 years. And
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And what does that mean for the everyday person? That means we can plug our hairdryer into a socket in France or something?
Well, not yet.
Oh, not yet. Okay.
They'd have to retrofit all the homes all over the world that have these different outlets in them for that to happen. So that's going to take a while.
Oh,
but
okay.
For other things, you know, it's happening. You see appliances that can be used, you know, just flick a switch and it can be used.
Yeah.
Other countries,
well, that's interesting. Well, and so now, how did you go from doing that to becoming a novelist? Was it happening simultaneously at one point?
No. In fact, I always wanted to write. When I was 11, I discovered the French author Colette, and just fell in love with the beautiful words. I'd read them over and over again, but I didn't see how to become a novelist. It just didn't form as a career objective, because I knew you had to know something about people, and I couldn't even figure out my brothers. So,
oh, funny.
In fact, I needed to live, and I think most novelists do. I needed to live. I was fortunate enough to be able to travel and see a lot of the world, and so it worked better for me as a second career, because by that time, you know, I had something to write about.
Oh, wow. Now, so the Sacred Imposter, what number book is this for you?
This is number 3 in the Jesus Thief series.
In the what series?
The first book is called The Jesus Thief.
Oh, The Jesus Thief. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And this became a series. It's book number 3.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. So now you're going to have new fans who are going to go clamoring for the other books. Are they all available still?
They're all available. In fact, The Jesus Thief just came out in paperback not long ago, so it's available. And they're all on Kindle on Amazon, too.
So is there a Christian theme through the books?
Well, there's a it's the genre is closer to Da Vinci Code than Christian genre.
Okay.
But it is a spiritual message in all the books. And certainly the idea of cloning Jesus and the Jesus clone is central to all the novels. Each book just picks up the story where the last one left off, but I write it in such a way that hopefully, even if you haven't read the earlier books, you can understand what happened and continue with the story.
Oh, wow.
And as a reader of this book and not the first two, I was totally mesmerized by the story. You really made the reader feel a part of the story, especially with all the facts and figures that were in there.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. Well, one of the things I love to do is to take the characters to different countries, introduce different kinds of people, and explore a culture, explore a background, a particular type of profession or something, and, put information in there that's interesting, because I love to learn personally. And I do a lot of research for all my books, and so I want to share that experience with the reader.
Wow. I'm just curious, Jim, if I were kind of invisible or a fly on the wall and standing near you, when you discover for the first time something that really intrigues you, like the Shroud of Turin, for example, what do I see you doing? Are you just mesmerized? Do you just absorb, or are you just insatiable with information about those kinds of things?
You must have ESP, because that's me. My husband is also an electrical engineer, and we were literally watching a documentary on the Shroud of Turin, and that's when I found out there really is blood on it, and it's type AB male blood, which is not at all common here in the United States, but extremely common in Jerusalem. And then when I learned that a real scientist actually did unauthorized PCR replication on the blood, I didn't even see the rest of the documentary. I was upstairs at my computer doing research. I had the title and everything. It just dovetailed with two of my passions, which is science and belief.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Oh, you know what? And we kind of are on the same page. I'm there too. I'm just maybe I don't have ESP as much as I think I know my own. I think I know a kindred spirit when I hear one. Maybe that's what it is. And you know, the whole thing about the shroud is that it seems to have been a blast of light, which Jesus called himself the light of the world.
Well, you know, what's really fascinating is that the latest scientific conclusions on the shroud came from a team in Italy, and they have stated that it is not a fake. Now, that is monumental, because it's been said that, this is a medieval fake, they made a lot of them at that time. But if it's a fake, it ought to be easy to prove that it's a fake. But the shroud has been studied and studied and studied. And last November, an Italian team of scientists came out with this announcement. And their conclusion is that it was made, the image was formed on a cloth by some UV photographic process, which of course didn't exist in medieval times. But, that kind of energy, if Jesus rose from the dead and was resurrected, the energy of that's what they're saying. I mean, it's incredible that genuine scientists are saying that this might not be a fake.
Well, and there was the other thing on the shroud, where the holes where the nails went were in the area that we call the wrist.
Yes.
But back in those days, the word hand referred to, or the word that is used for hand, that we've translated to hand, actually meant from the elbow all the way to the fingertips.
That's right. Well, in fact, one of the science has proven that the nailing couldn't have occurred in the hand, because bones in the hand aren't strong enough to support the body. If he were nailed to the cross, the nails would have, just
pulled out.
Sorry to say it that way.
Yeah.
And we've also found that wrist nailing actually was the Roman practice.
Yeah, if the fake happened in medieval times, then somebody knew something that the other artists didn't know.
Well, they knew something that we don't know today, because no one can reproduce that image today.
That's interesting.
You also do something incredible for other authors. It seems like you are a mentor to them, and you help them get started in their writing and their careers.
Yes, I do. I mean, I'm so in love with words that I almost don't care who wrote them, whether I wrote them or someone else. So I love to meet, you know, aspiring writers. You know, and if I find, I run a workshop called Novel Pro online, and I try to offer them there the help that I wish I had when I started, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Yeah, people, you know, and so now and then I run into somebody with such great talent. It just stops me in my tracks, you know. This one guy came to the group, and I went around the house for a few days saying, he writes like a god, you know. And my husband was like, who is this?
Yeah, oh, he was getting jealous, right? Jamie, we've been having a great conversation, but we're not being fair to the book. So let's let the listeners hear your version of like a movie trailer version of The Sacred Imposter.
You know, I have tried and tried to do that movie trailer thing. Okay, let me try.
Yeah.
The clone, the mother of the clone. No, see, I'm not going to be able to do it. It's a story. It continues the story and takes the character south to Mexico.
Okay.
What fascinated me understanding Mexico. I live in Texas, and one day I looked up and realized I knew almost nothing about the country that's just a few miles from me.
Right, right.
So I did a huge amount of research. Did you know that the first-hand accounts of the conquest are online? I was just amazed.
What now?
The actual records of people who were there at the time. Anyway, I researched Mexican history from then up to today, and I just couldn't stop. I became obsessed, and I created these characters through which I explore the Virgin of Guadalupe tradition.
Yes, yes.
And curanderismo, which is Mexico's ancient herbal healing art, and, of course, modern-day issues like illegal immigration, as it's called.
Right, right.
And, you know, just put them into a novel that continues this story. But hopefully, in a way, I'm always trying to write in a way that people get to see the world through someone else's eyes.
Well, that's very that's kind of the amazing part, I think, that Robin and I both discovered about your writing, is that it's almost like a tapestry of research and story ideas and intriguing factual things that are out there, and you weave them together like a master tapestrist. What do you call somebody who makes a tapestry? Tapestrist.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. You like words. I just made up one. A tapestrist. I'm not sure.
Yes. The
Sacred Imposter is, I have a copy of it right here. I'd like to give it away. The first person who calls to ask for it will get it. The rest of us have to go buy it. Jamie, how do we do that? Do you have a website?
Yes. J.R. Lankford, LANKFORD.com.
Okay.
And you can get to my Facebook page there. Where, you know, I have my whole schedule and all kinds of articles. And you can get it at any bookstore, but it's also online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's available as a Kindle.
Okay, and it is The Sacred Imposter. Let me give this one away. Good morning, the book is yours. Who's this? Oh, well, never mind. I guess I lost him. Jamie, thank you for getting up early. I realize if you're in Texas, you must have got up early. Thank you for being on the show with us today. Great interview, great book. I'd love to have you back next time you've got another book to promote.
Well, I have one underway, so I'll take you up on that.
Is it a fourth book in the series?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the air with us today. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back.